If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Okay, let's dive into something that feels, well, less like standard history and more like cracking open a sealed file, maybe something pulled from a deep archive.
Right.
We're looking at source material today that details a real anomaly, a single, pretty baffling incident focused on a young boy. Happened way back, 1913, North Dakota.
And it's not just a simple story. The sources are fragmented.
Exactly. It's not straightforward. We've got bits that feel like old news clippings, maybe local accounts, sure. But then there are these other parts. They read like excerpts from internal analyses, maybe even production notes on how you document something. Deeply strange.
Almost like process notes for handling the unexplainable.
Yeah. So our mission here really is to piece together the main story of this boy, Eli. We need to look at what the sources say happened, the core events.
And explore the different ways the sources themselves seem to interpret it.
That's the key part. The documentation hints at two very different realities. And maybe try to figure out why something like this, so impossible sounding, got documented in the first place. So let's jump in, the initial report.
Okay, the initial find. Spring 1913, North Dakota fields. A boy, looks about nine, wandering alone.
Just found him out there.
And the first notes mention him murmuring words nobody recognized. Unknown language.
Okay, weird start.
But here's the first major contradiction noted right in that initial field report. He was perfectly clean, unharmed, almost pristine. Doesn't fit being alone in the fields, does it?
No, not at all. Mud, scratches. Something, but clean.
Exactly. It immediately flags something as off, illogical.
And didn't he say something like about where he came from?
He did. The log notes his claim. He came from the other side of the light.
Wow.
So you put that together. Unknown words, pristine condition, that origin claim. It reads less like finding a lost kid and more like, well, an initial contact log. Something totally foreign just appeared.
And that initial strangeness, well, it was just the beginning, based on these sources. A local family, the Petersons, they took him in.
Right, tried to give him a normal life.
Tried. But as time went on, months, then years, something else became undeniable. Something the records apparently tracked meticulously. Eli. He wasn't aging.
Physically static.
Yeah. He stayed looking exactly like that nine-year-old boy they found. Time just washed over him physically. The sources really emphasize this. Imagine watching that.
And that physical stasis, that complete halt in biological aging documented over time, that's the central anomaly, isn't it? It breaks known physical laws.
Totally.
From an analytical viewpoint, that alone would make him a subject of intense interest or, you know, concern. The fact the sources detail this observation repeatedly shows how significant it was considered within, well, whatever system generated these files. It's proof of deviation, logged systematically.
But here's where it gets really unsettlingly complex, according to the notes. His body was stuck, yeah, but his mind, his awareness, understanding that kept going.
Kept developing, yeah.
The sources describe him having conversations way beyond a nine-year-old, taking things in like an adult, but trapped in that kid's body.
It's a profound contradiction. Developing intellect, static physical form. That pattern alone would escalate his profile dramatically in any system trying to understand him.
Right.
It's not just biological, it's cognitive too.
Yeah.
It suggests a form that's either incredibly resilient or maybe operating under totally different rules than us. Rules allowing mental growth without physical change.
And the weirdness just kept piling up. His knowledge, his behavior, the source material talks about things Eli would say, things he'd do.
Huh.
Like, he apparently talked about stuff that didn't exist yet back in 1913. Future tech, events, years away.
Predictive knowledge.
Yeah. And he drew these maps.
Oh.
Super detailed, not of the local farm, but cities that weren't even built yet. Or maybe city somewhere else entirely?
Unknown locations, future layouts. It's all adding up to something unexplainable by conventional means.
And then there were the nights. He'd go out to the barn alone. The files say he'd be chanting.
Oh.
Described as using strange symbols, as if receiving instructions.
Receiving instructions. That's a specific phrase.
It is. And it wasn't just kid stuff. They apparently brought in a professor, a linguist from Chicago.
Ah, external verification.
And this professor confirmed it. Eli wasn't just babbling. He was writing in actual unknown languages with, like, perfect grammar, complex structure.
Flawless grammar in an unknown tongue.
Which led the local papers, you know how they are, to call him the Frozen Prophet. And that name stuck.
Okay, let's unpack those behaviors through the different lenses the sources seem to imply.
Right, because there are two ways to look at this.
Exactly. From one angle, let's call it the divine anomaly view, you're leaning towards the unknown languages, the future knowledge, the chanting. It could point to something non-terrestrial. Or divine, if you prefer.
Yeah, like the flawless grammar suggests knowledge he didn't learn, but just had. Innate.
Right. And the chanting, maybe that's actual communication, receiving info from that other side of the light he mentioned.
So the Frozen Prophet name sort of fits that idea. A messenger, maybe?
It aligns with it, yes. But then there's the other perspective, the one I'm tracking more closely. Perhaps a government or high-level interest angle.
The cover-up idea.
If you view it through that lens, the details look very different. Predictive knowledge, that's incredibly valuable intelligence.
Gold mine.
Unknown languages with complex grammar. Could be sophisticated code, maybe alien, maybe foreign tech. Something needing decryption analysis.
Okay.
And the chanting. From a signals intelligence perspective, that could be interpreted as receiving or transmitting signals.
Ah, like a radio.
Sort of. So this cluster of behaviors, unique knowledge, coded communication, signal activity, that's a profile that screams high priority surveillance target to any security agency. It demands logs, analysis, pattern recognition.
So profit or asset?
The source material lets you see both possibilities in the same documented actions.
And according to these sources, that kind of official attention did show up suddenly.
Yes, the narrative describes an escalation. Men in suits.
Not locals, not doctors, suits, official looking.
Purposeful. Right, anonymous figures who seem to operate outside normal channels.
And the files say they photographed Eli.
Yeah.
A lot. Hmm. And crucially, they took his notebooks.
All the evidence.
All those drawings, the maps, the weird writing. Gone. Confiscated. Hmm. Taken away from the family, away from anyone else seeing it.
And that sequence of actions, the arrival of these coordinated non-local figures, the systematic documentation through photos, the acquisition of materials, the notebooks, that points very strongly towards a structured, probably covert, operation.
Not just curiosity.
No, it feels like a collection or containment procedure. Internally, it might be logged as asset identification complete, evidence requisition authorized, initiation of specific protocols. It means Eli, whatever he was, triggered a response needing swift, controlled intervention. Secure the subject, secure the data.
Which leads to the next big event in the main accounts. Eli vanishes.
Gone from the farm.
Yeah. On a specific night, the sources say. A moonless one. Just gone. No struggle, no forced entry, no clues left behind like a normal abduction or runaway.
And the way he vanished is critical. Again, the source material supports those two starkly different interpretations.
Okay, walk me through.
Well, if you stick with the divine anomaly idea, vanishing without a trace on a moonless night, that feels less like capture and more like retrieval.
Like he was called back?
Or moved on. Taken by that external force he seemed connected to. Remember, the other side of the light. This kind of departure clean, no struggle fits a return, not a conventional capture. An exit may be facilitated by something beyond our physics.
Okay, that's one way. What's the other?
From the analysis perspective I'm favoring, the government intervention one. A clean disappearance on a chosen moonless night. That screams planning and professional execution.
Stealth.
Absolutely. The lack of struggle, the absence of evidence, that's not a mystery. It's the goal of a skilled extraction team. You leave no trace. So in internal records, that wouldn't be logged as the boy mysteriously vanished.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be something like asset successfully relocated or acquisition complete at designated coordinates. It's procedure. The silence around it in the record is itself significant.
So either taken back to the light or taken to a black site.
The documented details support either conclusion depending on which framework you apply.
But the story, the files, They don't just end there in 1913 with the vanishing, do they? No. That's almost the most disturbing part.
No, they don't stop. There are these persistent whispers, rumors, maybe fragments of later reports that surface in the source material. Good. They suggest Eli continued to exist.
Where?
Reportedly held in secret facilities, hidden away somewhere.
And the details in these, let's call them monitoring reports, they're just profoundly unsettling. He's supposedly still not aging, still looks like that 9-year-old boy.
Decades later, potentially, still physically unchanged.
Still speaks those unknown languages.
Mm-hmm.
And they describe him staring blankly into surveillance cameras. Unblinking, apparently.
Yeah, dissociated behavior under observation.
And repeating one phrase over and over. Into the silence of wherever he is, the voice will speak again.
Chilling phrase. And these details, they absolutely read like excerpts from long-term surveillance logs or maybe behavioral analysis notes from some secure classified research site.
They're documenting his state, right?
Yeah.
Physically unchanged, still speaking the languages, the staring, that repeated sentence.
Exactly. They document the what, his condition, his output, his behavior. But, and this is the crucial silence within the documentation itself, there's zero explanation offered.
Nothing on why he's like this or what the languages mean or who or what the voice is.
Nothing. Just recorded observations, data points logged on an anomaly that defies explanation.
So if we look at these later reports through that divine anomaly lens,
then his continued state, not aging, the languages, that waiting phrase suggests he's still connected, still waiting for instructions maybe from that external source.
So he's being held because he's that connection, that potential receiver.
Possibly. The blank stare could be him disengaged from here, focused elsewhere, waiting for the voice. He's an entity tied to some other purpose, just being contained and watched.
But if you look at it through the government cover-up lens,
then these are logs from the ongoing study of a highly valuable or maybe incredibly dangerous asset. The secret facilities are research labs or containment bunkers.
And the languages.
Being endlessly transcribed, analyzed by linguists, cryptographers, looking for patterns, meaning anything.
And his behavior, the staring, the phrase.
Meticulously recorded. Is it psychological breakdown? Is it a coded message itself? Is it a trigger? They're logging every detail, every utterance of the voice will speak again, searching for utility, vulnerability, or understanding. It's longitudinal behavioral analysis on a captured subject.
So you end up with this, this documented chain of strangeness, the impossible discovery, the non-aging logged over years, the weird knowledge in notebooks, the official seeming intervention, the clean vanishing, and then these disturbing rumored logs of him just existing under observation.
And the sources, by presenting all these data points, these observations, these rumored logs, they essentially lay out two completely incompatible possibilities for what's going on.
But they don't choose. The source material gives you the weird facts, the records, but just stops.
Yeah.
No resolution.
It presents the documented events and the subsequent observations, but leaves all the fundamental questions hanging. What is Eli? Where did he come from? Why the stasis? What is the voice? The files just record. They don't explain.
It's a documented mystery where the documentation itself is part of the puzzle.
Precisely. The silence isn't just in Eli's reported stare. It's embedded in the very files documenting him. They record the what, never the why.
And if those last documented snippets are real, if the final record is him staring into a camera, repeating over and over, the voice will speak again.
Yeah.
Is that the log of a prophet waiting patiently for some divine signal? Or is it just another entry in a classified archive detailing asset Epsilon, still repeating output phrase Alpha, waiting for someone else to decide its purpose?